Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. We hope you enjoyed this message.
I love what I'm seeing. There are a lot of people outside of the vehicles, a lot of cars parked up. We are glad you are here. It is hot indeed, but I got my preaching rag, so we are all good. Nothing is going to hold us back this morning. Amen. I am excited that you are here. I am excited with the series that we are in and what God is doing, because he is moving, and there is no doubt in this season of life. If you're here for the first time or you're just joining us this week, we started a new series last week called The Battle Is On. And Pastor Mick introed it beautifully by talking how we are looking at the aspect of spiritual warfare and the part that that is playing in right now. And I love basically the overall summary that he gave in his message, which was, we can't learn how we fight in this battle and what to expect if we don't recognize that there's a battle going on in the first place. That the first thing, the first step is awareness. And he talked about kind of the overall arching of what we're going to be looking at in this series and how we have a part to play in this battle, and God has equipped us to do it. So the question is, church, how are we going to respond? What are we going to do in this season? Are we going to sit back, or are we going to be used by God to fight against the enemy? Because it's clear more than ever in this season of life that our world, that our country is in, that the enemy is making moves and he is recruiting people on his side. So how do us as children of God, as ambassadors of Christ, how do we fight against that in the world today? Now, if you haven't noticed by the amazing worship set that we've had so far, today we are talking about the power in the name of Jesus. That sweet, great name, that powerful name, that is what we're going to be looking at today. So before we dive in, will you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the amazing worship set that we've been able to have so far, that we are able to come here today, God, no matter what we've been going through, and just proclaim your truth and just come and worship you for who you are. Our loving Father, God, we thank you. And God, we thank you for this time that we have together as a body, despite the situation and circumstances that we're in. And God, I pray that today that you use me, Lord, that you speak through me in a mighty way. Lord, that your people will hear the word that you have for them today. Because, Lord, it is an important one, because we are in important times. So, God, I pray that nothing but truth will come from my lips. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will move through this area just like this wind, God. And we will feel your presence as we hear your word. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and all that you've done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for our text today, I'm going to be moving through quite a few passages of Scripture, but I want to start in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. So I would ask you that, usually we do the back and forth, but because it's a longer text and I can't see and hear you all, I want us all to read it together at once. Can we do that? All right, so Mark 5, chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, you can find them on your notes in the MyKCC app. Let's read this together. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. As soon as he got out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs and met him. He lived in the tombs, and no one was able to restrain him anymore, not even with a chain, because he often had been bound with shackles and chains, but had torn the chains apart and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and knelt down before him. And he cried out with a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God, don't torment me." For he had told him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." "What is your name?" he asked him. "My name is Legion," he answered him, "because we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the region. A large herd of pigs was there feeding on the hillside. The demons begged him, "Send us to the pigs so that we may enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned there. Now, this passage of Scripture is a very popular one. You may have heard it many times throughout your time in the church. And it's a story that is really intriguing, right? People always look at it like, wow, this is such an interesting story that all these odd things are happening. What exactly is going on? But today I want to focus specifically on the power and authority of Jesus. See, when we talk about the idea of power in the name of Jesus, it's not just saying that the name Jesus has power, right? There are other people named Jesus or Jesus, right? Jesus, we understand that that is a name. But what we're saying when we're saying the power in the name of Jesus, we're talking about the authority that comes behind who Jesus Christ is. That it's not because it's just a name, but it's whose name it is. And the reality is that Jesus, being who he was, he didn't have to speak his name as authority. He was the authority. Because it was his name was irrelevant, but who he was that mattered. So there's some interesting things that happen in this story as Jesus comes off of this boat. And I think what Jesus is displaying here that I really want to focus on is that what we need to understand is that how the power of Jesus is shown in this text. So notice what happens, right? Jesus comes off the boat, and what is the first thing that happens? The demon sees him from afar and runs to him. Get that. Jesus did not approach the man. He just got off the boat, and the demon is running towards Jesus. And he runs towards him, and he falls on his knees. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like demon activity. When I think of demons, I don't think of them running towards Jesus and falling on their knees. But that is what happens in this text. And not only does this demon fall to his knees, but he begs, not ask, begs Jesus not to be tormented. Who is this Jesus? That these demons see him from afar, even from a distance, they know who he is. His glory is not master hidden. They recognize who he is, and they run to him on their knees and beg him not to torment them. You know, as I read this this passage, I kind of was hit with something, and it may not be the most popular thing to say, but I think it's very truth-telling and convicting for us as Christians. That sometimes as I read stories like this and other in Scripture, I can't help but realize that there are times where I see these stories, and I think there are demons who fear and respect God more than some Christians do. When I look at this story, I think how many of us do the same, where we would run to God in adoration and fall on our knees? What does that say about Jesus or us as Christians when we see that even demons fear and tremble in the sight of God? Sometimes we like to focus so much on the loving and the kind side of God that we lose that kind of respect and fear. But we see here in this passage that that's not the case with these demons. That they fall to him in reverence and beg to not be tormented. But then we also see the power of the name of Jesus. A few years back, we were at a staff retreat, and Pastor Kyle and Pastor Curtis were telling a story of how they had recently dealt with someone who was under demon possession. Now, Pastor Mick mentioned this last week, but the reality is that here in the Western world, it's something that we're very numb to. You know, one time I heard a Jewish rabbi was talking, and he said the trick of the devil is that he uses different socioeconomical situations in different cultures to affect people in different ways. He said, when it comes to the Western world, the reason that we're so desensitized to demonic attacks is that we don't see them on a regular basis. And because we have such an economy and a political worldview where we are able to get the things that we want, that we can buy and sell, that we're able to take care of ourselves financially. So we don't see Satan attack us in those more specific ways as he does in first world countries. But he is like, don't underestimate Satan. It's all the same person who is behind those attacks. He just uses different tactics depending on where he is. And Pastor Mick mentioned that how we are desensitized as Americans, that we kind of shrug them off as sometimes they're make-believe, they don't actually happen. Or maybe that was something that only happened in Scripture back then. So when I heard this story that Pastor Kyle and Pastor Curtis were telling, I was kind of shocked because I was like, you know, like that doesn't happen around here. Like, not in Michigan, like in Kent, well, that doesn't happen. And they went on to tell this story. And if you've done anything studying about demonic attacks or things like that, they always say that there is power in the name. that one of the goals whenever these situations happen is that the demon wants to know your name because it gives them power. And Pastor Kyle talked about how he was there and they were speaking to this young woman and she kept saying, "What is your name? What is your name?" And Pastor Kyle said, "I'm not going to tell you my name, but I will tell you the name of Jesus." And they continued to pray over this girl over and over and rebuke this spirit that was in her until it left. And after I heard that story, I was silent. It was like an eye opener for me that there are things going on around me that I am ignorant of, that I am choosing to avoid and not to see. And we see that same thing in this passage. That even though the demon already knows Jesus' name, it doesn't give the demon authority. But yet, what does Jesus do to the demon? He asks him, "What is your name?" And the demon answers him. That shows the power that Jesus has, the authority that he comes in, that he says, "You can know my name and it gives you no power, but I will ask you your name and you will tell it to me because of who I am." And the demon answers him quickly. So we see that Jesus exhibits in this text the power of his name, the authority that he has, that even the demons run to him and they beg that he will not torment them and they tell him their name because they have no power over him. That is the God that we serve. But then it gets even better because not only is the power of Jesus shown, but the power of Jesus is given. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 and 7 and 8, this is what the text says. It says, "Summoning his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. As you go," verse 7, "proclaim, 'The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you received, freely give.'" So we see that in this passage, Jesus is giving the authority and the power to his disciples to go out and do the things that only Jesus can do. And the great thing about this is that Jesus is showing it's not about who they are. It's not about who the disciples were. It's whose authority and name they are going to do these things in. They're not just going out about their own mission and their own agenda and doing things. No, they're being sent out by God to do these things. And he's showing that as long as you go in my name and my authority, you can perform these miracles. You can do the things that only I can do because it's still only me doing them. It's not your strength or your work. It's the authority and the name that you are being sent in, and that is the name of Jesus, the most powerful name. You are going in my authority. I am giving that to you. Now, some people may say, you know, "That's great, Pastor Mike. That's awesome that they had that, but that only applied to the disciples. Jesus only gave that to them." That's not true. We see in Scripture that Jesus actually gave this gift to 72 more people and sent them out. And this is what they said in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 17. "The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" Remember that story, right? That man came to you, that demon came and ran and fell to your feet. That same thing happens for us in your name. Even the demons tremble when we come and we rebuke them, not because of who we are, but because we come in your name. Jesus was establishing his authority here on earth. He was showing the world who he was. And he was giving that authority to other people. But then it begs the question, okay, well, what happens when we try and use Jesus' name, but we don't have his authority? Right? Does that mean I can just go out in the name of Jesus and I can do whatever I want because it's the power in that name? Well, no, it's the power and the authority that he gives you. Look at what happens in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 17. "God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands, so that even face cloths or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Now some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches,
seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus and I recognize Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of that house naked and wounded. When this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, they became afraid, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high esteem. See, it's not that we can just go and do whatever we want in the name of Jesus and it'll happen. Have you been given the authority to do so? Right? Those Jews thought, hey, if we just use the name of Jesus, it must be power in just that name. Let's just use that name. And they said, no, Jesus said, I did not give you the authority to do that. You do not believe that I am the Messiah. You do not trust in who I am. Using my name without having a relationship with me means nothing. I have not given you that authority. And the demon showed us that when we are in a relationship with God, that even the demons know who we are. They know us as a child of God. They fear and tremble because of the authority that we are enshrouded in when we walk forth into the darkness and we preach the truth. They know our names. But when we go out and try to do things our own way and not given the authority by God to fulfill our own agendas, we see what happens in this text. But church, we need to rejoice in the fact that Jesus allows and shares his authority with us. That we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. But yet Jesus says, I want you to be vessels of truth. I want you to go out and share the gospel. I want you to go and do miracles in my name because it points back to my glory and it helps lead people out of darkness into light. I want you to do that. And I'm sending you in my name. So then later on, after Jesus was crucified and he rose again, he saw his disciples one last time. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, this is what it says. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Right now, we know this as the Great Commission. And we would not disagree and say that, oh, yes, this was something only for the disciples. It doesn't affect us today. No, we understand that this was a truth that all people who follow Jesus to the ends of the age, we are to go out and to make disciples, to preach the one true God, the living Christ. But notice what Jesus said. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. The authority that he gave up as he came to earth and humbled himself as a man, now that he is dead and has rose again, he has retained all the authority that he had. And he promises that he's going to be with them to the ends of the age. So listen what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I want you to go out and spread the gospel. I have all authority on heaven and earth, and I'm going to be with you always. I am empowering you to go and do what I've called you to do, that you're not going alone, that I am with you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I will send a helper to bless you and guide you. Jesus is showing that we have this authority through the name of Jesus, through him, the sacrifice that he made, because we are in a relationship with Christ. It applied to them back then and it applies to us now, that we can boldly go out into the world and know that there is power in the name of Jesus because of who he is and the authority that he has given to us. Church, we have to recognize that. But this brings me to my third point, which is that the power of Jesus is questioned. Listen to this quote from Wayne Grudem. He says, there is nothing inappropriate in seeking miracles for the proper purposes for which they are given by God, to confirm the truthfulness of the gospel message, to bring help to those in need, to remove hindrances to people's ministries, and to bring glory to God. Basically, what he's talking about is the aspect that now in today's world, we look and say, well, why don't miracles happen now like they did back in the New Testament? If miracles are real, if they still happen, why don't we see them like we do back then? Well, first we have to understand the context when we're asking that question. First of all, you have to ask yourself, were the miracles that happened for a specific reason and a specific purpose at a specific time? Yes, Jesus wasn't just doing miracles out of random. He was fulfilling scripture. He was fulfilling prophecy. He was showing the people back then who he was and establishing his authority. The fact that we have that authority written and recorded now is a reference for us to go back to and to see who he was. It's not that we have to have people rising from the dead all the time. Because Jesus makes it clear in his ministry, it's not about the things that you can see. It's about what you believe in your heart. There are people who see miracles every day, but yet they do not believe in God. But last week, Pastor Mick talked about tensions when it comes to the idea of spiritual attacks and the battle that we're in. Right? And he said in the tension that we can get in is that if we're not careful, we focus so much on the spiritual side that we ignore the flesh side. Or if we do the opposite, we focus so much on our flesh that we become numb and ignorant to what's going on in the spiritual realm. And how, as usual, Christ is found somewhere in the middle. And I think when it comes to miracles, there's a tension in that as well. And we have to be careful as Christians that we don't see everything as a miracle that happens in life, where we inflate everything to being a miracle by God, but on the other end, where we ignore all the things and miracles in general and think that nothing is a miracle by God. Absolutely, there are miracles that happen in today. But the question is, what do you determine a miracle as? Some would say a restored marriage is a miracle. Some would say a person getting over a drug addiction or any type of addiction is a miracle. A family member saved from an inoperable surgery or something, type of cancer. Some would look at that as a miracle. How are you determining what miracles are? If we're just looking and say, oh, unless it's people rising from the dead or people walking on water, then everything else isn't a miracle. That's not true. Miracles are things that we cannot explain, that we only put into trust that it could happen through a higher power. But we have to understand that in our culture, the power of Jesus is questioned. If we're honest with ourselves, we do doubt about what the power of Jesus is doing in our world today. Last week, Pastor Mick quoted a quote from the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. At the Wyoming campus, the past couple months, we actually went through a series also on spiritual warfare, and we tied in the Screwtape Letters along with the series. If you haven't read the book, I would encourage you to do so. It's just a cool kind of outside look at what we think could be going on in the spiritual realm. And there's some great wisdom that C.S. Lewis puts in this book that really helps us to kind of think in a different light. So if you don't know the background, the Screwtape Letters is basically, it's about a senior demon named Screwtape who's writing letters to his nephew Wormwood, who is a rookie demon in a sense. And it's about basically him mentoring him throughout his life as he has his client or this person that he is trying to influence for the devil. And I love this quote that Screwtape says in the book because I think it fits so perfectly with what we're talking about now. He says, if you can once get him to the point of thinking that religion is all very well up to a point, you can feel quite happy about his soul. A moderated religion is as good for us as no religion at all and more amusing. Basically, what Screwtape is saying in this quote is that Satan does not care if you worship him. He only cares if you worship God or not. And I think so often we think that there's this, in this aspect of battle, that it's either you're either on one side or you're on the other. What Screwtape was saying is that, no, we don't need Christians to necessarily worship Satan. All we need them to do is to doubt God's power, and we win. Because what happens when we doubt God's power, we don't allow ourselves to be used by God for the purpose that he has created for us. And Satan has no problem with that. Satan doesn't need followers. He just wants doubters in the kingdom. People that won't get in the way of his schemes and the plans that he is trying to do here on earth. And as long as he can get you to that point where, does God really still work today as he used to? Is there really power in the name of Jesus? Yeah, I've seen God move in some ways, but can he really work in this situation? Those are the doubts that Satan wants us to have in our minds. You know, one of the things that really annoys me is, you've probably seen this. There's that picture. Some people, I've seen it, like, it's like a screen paper, a wallpaper. There's like that picture of Jesus, and then there's that picture of Satan, and they're like face to face, like they're about to fight. And you got like this beautiful green and heavenly thing on one side, and it's like fire on the other. You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever seen that picture? It's like that spiritual battle. I hate that picture. And I'm going to tell you why. I hate it because it gives the image that there is that somehow Jesus and Satan are on the same level. Like, oh, it's like 50-50. Who's going to win? Let's toss a coin. No, that's not it at all. Understand that any authority that Satan has here on earth has been given to him by God. He didn't take anything. And I hate that picture. It's like those just those little seeds that Satan plants just to get people used and accustomed to this idea that, oh, there's this battle going on. We already know the victory has been won. Amen? We know that the victory is in Jesus. Satan already knows that he has lost. He's just trying to bring in as many people to come along with him as he can. But Satan just wants us to doubt the power in the name of Jesus. He doesn't care if we rebuke God, if we become a Muslim or an atheist or a Mormon. No, he just wants you to not allow yourself to be used for the purposes that God has for you in this battle. But church, we don't want that here at KCC. We want each and every one of you to be in line with what God has called you to do and be prepared to fight for the God that we serve. So we need to understand that there is power in the name of Jesus because of the authority that comes behind it. And that authority has been given to us, again, not because of anything that we've done, but all because of what Christ has done. So what are you going to do with that authority? Are you going to proclaim the name of Jesus boldly and trust that God is going to show up? Or are you going to stand on the sidelines and allow Satan to use you by having you doubt the power that God has given you? Now, people may be saying, okay, Pastor, I get it. I have this authority. So does that mean that anything I ask in Jesus' name is going to happen? No. That's not what Jesus promised us. One thing you have to realize in Scripture is that every miracle that Jesus did was aligned with the will of the Father. Jesus never just went out and said, I'm going to do this on my own and a miracle happened. Jesus quotes over and over again that he is always unified with the Father and everything that he does is in agreement with the Father. And it's no different with us. We don't just go out about in our lives and use the name of Jesus for our own agenda. No, what happens as Christians and what we need to do is that when we go out in the authority of Jesus and we trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit, situations will arise naturally that will need a miracle to happen. And our job is to trust that Jesus is going to fulfill his end. That's it. That's what we do. We don't go out looking for situations to make a miracle happen. We just do what God has called us to do, and situations may arise where God needs to show up, and only he can to perform a miracle, and he will do so, and we trust that he will. That is our roles as ambassadors of Christ, as those who carry on this authority, to share the truth of God and to trust in his power, to trust in the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus can break down walls, that it can soften hearts, that it can restore marriages, that it can save children, that it can heal addiction, that it can do what no one else in the world can do. It's not about just believing that in our heads, but we have to believe it in our hearts as we walk alongside people in this world. Because we can say that all day long that we believe in it, but when the rubber meets the road, when people want to see how we're going to respond, that's when we actually show if we trust in the name of Jesus. So I have a couple questions that I want you to think on today, and then we're going to go into a time of song. And they're this. First question is, do you truly believe in the power of Jesus' name? Do you trust that it's not just a name? Do you trust the authority behind it, that there's actually power in the name of Jesus? Secondly, do you believe that you have a part to play in this spiritual battle? Mick talked about recognizing that it exists. This week we talked about the weapons that we use, the power in the name of Jesus. Are you recognizing, do you believe that you have a part to play? Don't believe this lie that the enemy wants you to believe that your job is just to sit on the sideline, to cheer on the team. Because when you're cheering, you're not fighting. God needs us to fight. Satan wants us to sit idly by and watch as the world burns. No more, church. You have a part to play. Do you believe that truth today? And finally, are you fighting or are you on the sideline? You can believe in the authority of Jesus. You can believe that there's a battle going on and you have a role. But are you living it out? Don't think, no, it's just little old me. I have no part to play. Leave that to the pastors. Leave that to the elders. No. There's nothing more special about me than there is about you. It's only about the God that we serve. It's not my authority. It's not your authority. It's Jesus' authority. That is the name above any other name, the name that we go before with and use to rebuke demons, to rebuke the enemy's schemes that he has planned. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Don't let Satan belittle you. You all have a part to play. We all are warriors. So let's fight, church. Let's not sit on the sidelines. When we do that, we're helping the enemy. Let us fight and proclaim the name of Jesus. So we're going to sing Break Every Chain. And I think it's fitting because it's a song that we can easily just sing to sing, but it's different when you truly believe in the power of Jesus. So maybe you came here today and you think, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I'm a Christian and I worship God and I follow him. But if I'm honest, there's situations in my life that, I don't know if Jesus has power in this situation. I don't know if I can proclaim the name of Jesus over my marriage. I don't know if God can restore it. Maybe it's too late. I have a family member who has this illness, God. Pastor, there's a 90% fatality rate. I don't know if the name of Jesus can cover that 10%. I don't know. Whatever is on your heart today, as we sing this song, I want you to proclaim the name of Jesus, to trust in his power, because church, miracles are happening all around us every day. But if we're spiritually blind, we won't see them. Pray to God. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to see these miracles, to see the way that you move, and what part do you want me to play in this battle? Church, we have a part to play. You have a part to play. So I'm going to pray, and as we sing, let this song be our declaration today that we trust in the power in the name of Jesus. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this series. I thank you for your word because we know the enemy is angry with us right now. He wants us to pick sides of who's right and who's wrong and to hate our brothers and sisters. He wants us not to be unified. But God, we shall be unified under your cross, under the shed blood that you gave for us. And Lord, we know the enemy doesn't want us to walk boldly in your authority, that the demons recognize us, that they would run to us on their knees, not because of us, because they see you in front of us. Lord, that is the power that you have given us. And Lord, I just repent because a lot of us, we've wasted it. We put it in a box and tucked it in the garage and just left it alone and wondered, where is God? Why aren't you showing up? Where are the miracles? Lo and behold, we've had the authority all along, but we haven't trusted you, Lord. God, I pray that that would change today. That as a body, we would be bold and go out into the community and the rest of the world proclaiming who you are and trusting that when you need to show up, you will. Because, Lord, you've never let us down once before. You are always faithful. So, God, I thank you for this word today. God, I thank you for the authority you've given us. I thank you for that sweet name of Jesus and the power that comes behind it. Lord, you can move mountains. You make the demons tremble and flee. You make the impossible possible, all for your glory. So, God, may we believe that today. And as we sing, may we proclaim that truth so that the enemy's trembling when at the sound of our voices. God, we thank you for who you are and all that you do. We ask this in the mighty and powerful name, in Jesus' name.